Hello everyone and welcome back to Semi-Scribbled Podcast. I'm your host Akinyi and today we're going to talk about The Shadow King by Maaza Mengistu. Let's get into it. Now, this book was really very interesting. I loved reading this book. It is one of the books shortlisted for the Booker Prize in 2020. It was published in 2019. And I tried to sort of jump into it how I jumped into Dust and sort of do a marathon read. Honey, let me tell you, that did not work out well for me because this book is really intense in the same way as Dust, but a little bit different because it's a bit dense. It's about, let me see here, how many pages? The book is 424 pages. Because of the information that is packed in here, I'm really happy with how Maaza told us this epic story of the war in Ethiopia in 1935 all the way to 1941, and then goes ahead to sort of intersperse things that then happened way after the war, around 1974, when there was a new revolution against Emperor Haile Selassie. So I read this book in two ways. I listened to the audiobook because I realized I was running out of time and I really wanted to record this episode. And it also helped me to keep in touch with what was going on while I was doing other things that life requires me to do. And if you listen to my last episode last week, I talked about how I do enjoy listening to audiobooks because then I can keep track of where I'm at in the books. While reading the book and listening to the audiobook at the same time, I realized that I actually enjoy reading of the book more than listening to the audiobook. But the audiobook really helped with pronunciation of names, the dialogue in the book, because this book does not have quotation marks. That's Maaza's style. It doesn't really affect the flow of the book. I think it actually makes it better because you will pick up really fast where it is a character speaking. You don't really need to have the quotation marks. But yeah, the audiobook really brings out the different accents and all that, the different voices, and makes it really good to follow along because this is a wartime story. So it sort of flows like an epic motion movie. So listening to it sort of transports you into really visualizing what's going on in the book if you are a visual person. The book follows one character. Her name is Hirut. It follows Hirut, who at the beginning of the book is actually an old woman looking back at her life and looking back at her participation in the 1935 war against the Italians in Ethiopia. And she has this box that has loads of memories in it. It has photographs and letters, but they don't really belong to her, although they do pertain to her somehow. So she has this box and she's in the train station at Addis waiting for somebody to come and pick up the box because she got a message that she should meet him at the train station. So we do follow Hirut from this moment in the train station, flashing all the way back to what happened just before the war broke out in Ethiopia. We are introduced to different characters, Kidane and Aster, who are Hirut's masters, and the cook, who is a little bit older than Hirut, and Barhe, who is a stable hand or just, you know, like a somebody who's on this ranch that Kidane and Aster and Hirut and the cook live on. So we do get to experience the war mostly through Hirut's eyes, the trials and tribulations that she experiences being a young woman that is exposed to war and is exposed to people who know that they have to prepare for war. Let me tell you, a lot happens in the preparation for war. But even before then, Maaza takes us through the lives of women in 1935 Ethiopia or thereabouts. I am convinced that women were already living in a war amongst their people because stories of different characters getting married off really young, we're talking about 14, 15 and younger, the horrors of having to very quickly become a wife to men, that was a lot for me. There's a lot of harrowing, triggering things that happen in this book. The way Maaza explains them is a little bit gentle, but the effect is still harsh. To be exposed to how these young girls are essentially raped on the first night after marriage and how they are sort of groomed to prepare for their husband, and how everybody around them knows that it's a harrowing experience but does little to nothing to sort of prepare or to prevent these things from happening to these young women. It's not surprising then that some of these characters, like Aster, who is a valiant heroine in the book, she defies all sorts of patriarchal standards that are placed during this time in 1935. She actually takes an active role in the preparation for war and on the battlefield. She goes as far as donning uniform that is exclusive for men, and not just the men, but certain noble lineage descendants. She wears that and definitely has an argument with Kidane, who is her husband, about this. But she can very clearly stand up for herself and say that she has a role to play and want to be part of the fight. But on the flip side, she is part of the people who are perpetuating the violence against women in this book. And it's not surprising because she herself has endured a lot of violence. So violence begets violence. They say, hurt people hurt people. And that's exactly how I view Aster in this book. And I'm trying to say a lot without, as usual, giving any spoilers. But the themes here, they are so many, but you don't feel overwhelmed. They just naturally progress. And because we're looking at how Hirut started off as this young female slave in this home and then is exposed to war and has to learn to be a functioning member of this group of people who are actually, what can you say, revolutionaries? Not really. They are valiant fighters, you know, trying to continue to secure their independence. These themes come out very naturally, especially the duality in the characters. The characters in this book are really well developed. They are real characters. We love Aster for standing up and defining for herself what her role will be and really taking up a charge in terms of fighting the Italians. But we also really hate Aster when she blames Hirut for what essentially is her husband's problem or her husband's fault, and failing to understand that Hirut is a victim. But also, we can understand why Aster doesn't really have empathy, because she suffered the same thing. And now it's sort of like a question of how should she function when she has been raised to believe that this is how the world is towards women. Apart from there being this war between the Ethiopians and the Italians, there's also definitely an ongoing war between the different classes that exist within the Ethiopian society. There are noble families that are destined to be the rulers of all Ethiopia. And of course, that's where the emperor is part of that lineage of people. And Aster and Kidane are a little bit lower in rank, but of the same lineage in terms of being royal people. And this comes out very clearly from Hirut very much later in the book, when she witnesses Aster undergoing a humiliation as a result of the war. And she says that there are certain bodies that should not be exposed to certain things, because they are not made to endure certain suffering. Hirut actually embodies the empathy that we would think Aster would have. And for me, that was like, okay, I'm still learning. These are life journeys that I need to undertake. There's also another character that I really enjoyed in this book. Her name is Fifi. Fifi is your classic Mata Hari type of character. She's in the thick of things in the enemy's camp. She really does play an instrumental part for Kidani's team or Kidani's little army in feeding them information directly from the master's camp. And I really did enjoy reading about Fifi. The moments where Fifi comes up are, for me, one of the best parts of the book, especially how she thinks quickly on her feet and how she maneuvers around the leader of the Italian camp. As I said, this book for me fits within the same genre as Dust, because there's a lot of memory, there's a lot of nostalgia, there's a lot of history that we're getting to learn through the characters. For example, I didn't really know about a lot about what happened in terms of Ethiopia. I always knew that Ethiopia did manage to maintain its independence, but I really didn't know exactly what that took for them to do that. So this book helped me understand that bit of history a little bit better by giving me information from these characters' perspectives. Because yes, as I said, during Dust, there's a lot of whitewashing that happens in terms of the history that we actually do get to learn. This book exposed me much more to what happened in Ethiopia. So I loved that. The theme of memory and history and nostalgia is also really explained well through chapters in this book that are titled Photograph. Photographs are a tool used in this book, and it really comes through via one of the characters, Itare Navara, who is a soldier in the Italian army. He documents whatever is going on by taking photographs. And in the different parts within this book, there's always a mini chapter or an interlude, though there are interludes as well in the book, that are specifically based around photographs. And I was really surprised but happy to learn that Maaza has a project that actually shows photographs from the 1935 Ethiopian War and is asking people to contribute their pictures to that project. And I will definitely put the link to that project in the description box of this episode. It's really lovely to go and see the photographs. It really brings out the scenes that are drawn for us in this book. I asked myself a few questions when I was reading this book, and I'm going to pose these questions to you. And I don't really want to answer them. I just think that this is something that you would end up asking yourself as you go through the book or through your emotions of reading. This book really asked me to consider what patriotism is and how that functions within the different hierarchies of and classes of citizens in a particular country. Is it that the price that is paid in order for somebody to actually truly display or be actively patriotic, is it the same for everyone? There was a very heavy theme in terms of faith and religion. A lot of that strength, a lot of intention was based on faith. There were also atheists in the book, and it's really interesting to see how the different characters behaved based on where their faith lied. The question I also asked, which I think I tackled earlier when I talked about Astar and Herut, is who is a hero or a heroine in a war? For me, my answer would definitely be Fifi, though there are instances that, yeah, she does embody duality in character, meaning she's human, she's not perfect. But I wasn't really sure if I would say Astar was. Definitely Herut is. But what about Kidane? Who is a hero in a war, and how do we classify them? The other questions that I asked myself was, how do we grieve those we've lost in violent ways? In this book, it really showed us that when death happens in the midst of a war, there's not enough time to grieve the people who die, especially because there's no time to bury them. There's no time for all the rites and rituals that help people mourn a death. That was really brought out really well within the book and made me think about how do we actually grieve for people who die in violent ways. The question of Stockholm Syndrome or friendship within captivity also really came out. I loved how the book ended. it really ended well for me. I was happy with how that went down. But it does seem to me that for those who actually seem to be the captors, they themselves, they're in prisons that are either built for themselves or that they find themselves having to operate in because of how their societies operate. And that was, I was like, yeah, good. I'm really glad Maaza brought that out, because it made it clear that not people don't get away scot-free. So yes, that was my review of The Shadow King. I really do hope you go and read it and let me know what you think. I didn't want to say too much because I don't want to give spoilers to the book. I also want to apologize for my voice this week. I'm sounding a little bit raspy, but I just really needed to record this episode. So thanks again for listening. You know how to reach out to us on our socials. We are on Twitter and Instagram as podcast_semi. That's again on Twitter and Instagram as @podcast_semi. You can hit us in our DMs on Instagram and on Twitter. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.